Today's program is brought to you by Emmy Cheese, specialty cheese from Switzerland made with heart and heritage. For more information, visit emmyusa.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we're spotlighting the people who prepare our meat before it reaches our plates. We hear from whole animal butchers, the brains behind a meat vending machine, California cattle ranchers, and a master of charcuterie who isn't using meat at all.
It's like a smoked and grilled center stalk of the broccoli, and then it gets finished with some mustard, barbecue sauce, and sauerkraut.
Ranching and farming being as difficult as it is, you know, it's just one thing after another. And at some point, you just give up.
I had a wild idea that if I learned butchery, maybe I could start to be kind of a link in the supply chain.
Listen to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, welcome to Japanese. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, food writer and director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen in izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is so mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Kumiko Zimmerman, who is the founder and CEO at Don Svenos Tequila. And she's the first Japanese woman who owns and runs a tequila company. Although Japan is now famous for great whiskey production, tequila is not instantly connected with Japan in our mind. But Kumiko has been proving to the world that she can make the world-class tequila by winning reputable awards since she launched her products in the US in 2018. So today we'll discuss how Kumiko got into the tequila business, her philosophy of making great tequila, and challenges she faces in running the business, why she is committed to charitable causes, and much, much more. But quickly before we start, Japan Eats is available on Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now let's start a conversation with Kumiko Zimmerman. So, hello, Kumiko. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. So first, where are you right now and how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
So
it's a little crazy, but, you know, for all the COVID-19, but yeah, I mean, we are doing very good.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I don't know that. So you are in Florida right now, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so your business is based on, you are in Florida and you have, you know, for your production, everything is in Mexico, I believe.
Correct, yes.
Right.
So
Oh. We
have an office in Florida and, you know, just basically right now it's based on the United States and we also launched in Japan last year.
Wow.
So between America and Japan, those two.
Okay. So we'll get into that in a moment, but let's find out who you are. We're all curious about this very amazing woman. So where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up?
Okay. So I'm from Tokyo, Japan. Born and raised in the city of Hachioji. I don't know if you're familiar with the place. But it's about 1 hour away from Tokyo, and it's a countryside, you know?
Right.
And,
well,
yeah.
It's a nice area. I grew up in Tama City, so
oh we're kind God. Of... yeah. Okay, so right. We're pretty like a close neighbor.
Right, kind of, right?
Yeah, and right. You know, I used to love to see like hotaru, you know, lightning bugs at night.
Right.
It reminds me like all the good memories as a country girl.
Right.
And what did I eat when I grew up? I always loved to eat, you know. I grew up eating pretty much anything. My mom cooked all kind of food. But my favorite is always noodles. Like ramen, udon, soba, you know, pasta.
Right.
Yeah.
So I hope you have enough supply of ramen and other noodles in Florida.
Yes. Luckily, I have a Japanese restaurant near us, like 10 minutes away. Mm. And actually owned by a Japanese lady and her husband. So I go there and, you know, eat a curry, to ramen noodles, like all kind of Japanese food. So it's like my second home. I feel like Japan, you know?
Right. Oh, lucky you, because it's very hard to find the kind of authentic Japanese, even in Florida.
Right.
So, right. Yes. Okay. So, so let's talk about, well, actually, first of all, when and why did you leave Japan and move to the States?
And I moved to US on 2009 after we had our three children in Japan. And my husband, who is American, had an opportunity to open his technology company in LA. So we moved. And, you know, our son was 5 and our daughter was 3 and 1. They were very little when we moved.
Mm. Wow. So that was 11 years ago.
Yeah, it's about, yes.
Right. Okay. And so now you're the owner of Dos Suenos, the producer of the award-winning tequila. And I think, well, everybody likes tequila right now, but first of all, what is tequila by definition and how do you make tequila?
So tequila is a distilled spirit made from the Buruvega agave plant. And to be legally called tequila, it must meet 3 requirements. First, it can be only produced in 5 areas of Mexico. And second, it must be made with blue agave. Then third, it must be approved by CRT, which is Tequila Regulatory Council. And the production of tequila is, you know, I would like to explain how Dos Suenos tequila made, because each brand's making in different process and different tasting profile.
Mm, right. And I heard that the blue agave takes a long time, like 6 years at least, to grow. So it's kind of by itself very special ingredient.
Yeah, it's about 7 to 10 years for agave to reach maturity.
Mm, wow. Like
a long time, yeah.
Right. And so then but basically you age tequila in oak, or if you don't, you can sell unaged tequila. As I think a blanco, and then there's a
right.
So there are 3 types. Is that the basic thing? Maybe you can explain.
Okay, so can I just explain how it's made, like the easy way? Okay, so first is harvesting, and we use a single estate blue agave plant, and you know, of course, usually it takes 7 to 10 years for, you know, agave to reach maturity, and then after that it's cooking. Slow roasting high pressure in autoclave, which is like an autoclave is like a big oven.
Mm.
So you cook in there. And then after that is fermentation. We use natural yeast to ferment. Then it's distillation. We use fasting copper to remove the impurities. Then second in stainless steel to smoothen the profile. After that, we left in rest 59 days to be oxygenated before bottling. That's I'm talking about Blanco.
Mm.
And this process makes it softer with less alcohol burn. But so we talk about after that is like Reposado and Añejo. We have 3 different kind. And Reposado is, you know, we rest in American oak for 9 months. And Añejo is rested in 23 months.
Mm. Wow.
So that's okay. The difference.
Right. So, yeah, it's amazing how simple the ingredients are, but then you have this such a special product. I think it's very local. And you mentioned, you know, it has to come from specific regions. So that's kind of a geographical identification. It's like champagne or other... Right. Global standards. So it's a tequila is, I'm sure in the market, there's so many different types, but your product sounds very special. So congratulations. And we talk about, you know, how special your products are later.
Okay.
So you founded Dos Suenos in 2017. So why did you decide to start your own tequila company?
It was 100% opportunity. It just, you know, just came to me and nothing else. But it's really for tequila, it's about 15 years ago. And first time I visited Mexico with my husband and friends. And one of our friends said to me, hey, Kumi, you know, we are in Mexico. You got to try tequila. And I've never had a tequila before. But since then, you know, I always liked tequila. And but I just didn't have much knowledge about it. So I study and, you know, there are many, many more things to learn, to be honest.
Right. So let's just go back quick. So, you know, the opportunity was presented. And what's amazing, we exchanged email before. But, you know, it's kind of like you are definitely open to opportunities. And if I was presented to open a tequila company, I would think, like, I'm not sure. And you take it and make it happen. So I really like your energy, very proactive.
Oh, thank you. I just want to tell you, know, sometimes you just don't expect it and then just things are meant to be, you know, just happens. So, you know, that's really about it. It was just 100% opportunity came to me.
Wow. Have you ever run a company before?
Yes.
Okay.
So before this tequila company, we were on a motocross track. You know, like a motocross, like dirt bikes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 2015 to 18, I believe. So I was running the company.
Right. Wow.
Different.
Obviously. Yeah. Well, you don't drink tequila and right away you don't ride a bike. So,
right.
Okay. So, and I heard you have a great partner in Mexico. So what is a distillery and what is the background of your partner?
So our distillery located in Arandas, Los Altos, Jalisco. And we are known 1499. And our master distillery, their family is the Acabes family, has been cultivating agave in Los Altos region for three generations.
Wow.
Yes. And we can just feel their commitment and pride and investment in what they do. And so we are very, very pleased to work with them.
Right. So you managed to, I mean, I don't want to dig in too much of how your business, you know, the opportunity was presented. Maybe you can explain a little bit more about, you know, how you saw the business opportunity so that we can really understand how special this business is.
And for about like owning tequila company?
Yeah. So you said, you know, I keep going back to this, your amazing statement that the opportunity was presented, right? So,
right. So
there is an opportunity. Somebody said, let's just start a business of tequila. And because you're so interested in tequila already, you're ready to get it and run the company. And then you found a great partner. Is that how it worked?
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, opportunity came and then, you know, we, basically, you know, just choose the recipe and then, you know, just build the brand from ground.
Right. Wow. Okay. So to you, what is special about tequila compared to other spirits? Like there's so many great spirits in the market right now. So how do you describe how special tequila is?
Well, so to be honest, like I can't really drink so much alcohol because of, you know, like Asian things, you know, like some people can, some people really cannot take. And, you know, I always get sick before, you know what I mean? When we went to Mexico and had a tequila, you know, obviously any alcohol, if you drink too much, you know, you would get hangover stuff, but for tequila is I just always love the taste, and such a happy spirit, you know. You just gather with friends and then just, you know, take cocktails or take shots, whatever it is, you know. Right. Always I love the tequila.
So and it's then, more about cultural part that's appealing even.
Right. For the Mexico, you know, Mexican cultures and, you know, always interesting. But again, like I didn't really know much about. And, you know, this opportunity came and then I study, I learned how to make to, you know, about the Don Senos recipe, you know, that kind of things. And the more you get to know about it, and then you would realize like, oh, wow, you know, how long, like takes long time to make this one bottle, you know.
Right.
So it's more like appreciative about the spirit.
Right. I'm sure drinking and making, they're two opposite things. And for once you combine them, you really understand and appreciate what you drink. So,
right.
Awesome. So you are the first Japanese person and also woman who owns and operates a tequila company. So what are the biggest challenges you have faced in managing the company so far?
It was never my intention to be the first Japanese woman to own and operate tequila company.
Right.
But I feel like either you own the business or not, it's challenging to live in different countries that you didn't grow up in. And just biggest thing is probably language barrier. I have accent and my English isn't perfect. Especially, I struggle typing emails. So my kids even make fun of me. you have to study grammars, you know. So sometimes I create a confusion with people. But I try to be positive and try not to be afraid of making mistakes. So, you know, because if you are afraid to fail, then you can't move forward.
Right.
And you don't get nothing. So.
Yeah, you're very inspiring.
No.
Yes, just very, positive and go get it. So, yeah, and I think that's interestingly, I think Japanese mindset is that you try to be perfect, and if you're not perfect, you just don't.
Right. And right? I have a comment too, like, I just being honest, like, it's scary, like, okay, you know, just I don't want to be like, you know, I don't want to fail, obviously, and I don't want to get embarrassed. And, you know, those moments that, you know, I had that too. But just going to have to push it to, you know, moving forward. And if you don't try it, you know, nobody else is going to do, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to. So.
Right. And if you don't do it, you're going to regret that you didn't, right? That's the biggest fear of life,
yeah,
I think.
Yes. And I never like a logical person, you know. I just living with a passion, like my heart. So I don't really think too much. I just want to do it. And then, you know, like atatte kudakero, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Atatte kudakero is a very good term.
That's who I am.
Right. So the listeners, atatte kudakero means you just go break yourself, but you don't care because that's what you want.
It's basically better than do it than not doing it ever. You know what I mean? Just do it and see what happens.
Right.
You know? So that's just who I am.
Right. And usually when you have that spirit, something good happens without knowing that's going to happen. So,
yeah. Right. I think so, because I have an amazing team right next to me, you know, because they back me up and then just trying to reach goal together. So very grateful.
Right. I'm sure your colleagues are enjoying your very, you know, very good energy. So that's wonderful. So what, you know, that was the challenges. So the challenges, you said the language. But, you know, the running the business that you didn't grow up in a tequila family, right? So what else was challenging to you?
It's a lot of different things that I feel challenging. But basically, maybe distribution, you know, as being like us, like really small company and a brand. distributor is, you know, big distributor is basically like you have to, you know, put the money up front, mm-hmm. you know. So something like we have encountered being a small brand, like it takes time and building lots of great relationship, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it's a lot. It's a lot to face.
Right. And it sounds like you are enjoying those challenges too. So
it's just learning, you know, it's just a lot to learn, but you know, I like it actually. I like to learn, you know, always. You know, I just like to learn new things that I didn't even know, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's hard to imagine. You're just sitting and see what things are happening in the world. So you just have to do something by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wonderful. So what are the advantages that you have as a Japanese woman managing a tequila company?
I don't feel it's an advantage to own tequila company as a Japanese woman.
Right.
But we launched in Japan last year, and tequila is becoming a popular spirit in Japan.
Mm.
But on the other hand, I still see many Japanese people have some like negative images about tequila, you know, such as like tequila is only a party drink. Like you play games and the loser has to take a shot for the penalty type of thing, you know?
Mm.
And but it really isn't for that.
Right.
And, you know, in the U.S., which is the largest tequila market in the world, and tequila is very popular in U.S. And, you know, they are Taco Tuesday, having a margarita at home. And, you know, I see that tequila is a part of people's lifestyle.
Right.
So I'm hoping for more Japanese people to be interested and get to know about this amazing spirit.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting, right? Because Japanese sake now, America is the third or the top export country for Japanese sake.
Right.
And where it used to be like people drink really low quality hot sake and you get hungover, of course, and that
yeah.
was the image. And now premium sake is winning all those competitions.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's the growth based on cultural understanding. And even Mexican food, people think is tacos. It's not. Mexican regional cuisine,
right?
It's amazingly diverse and deep. And yeah, so yeah, and the tequila, good tequila is very kind of terroir oriented, right? You really taste the different ingredients and
correct.
How
yeah.
it's made.
Yeah.
So, right.
It's interesting. It's like so many tequila brands out there, and then, you know, it's really different taste profiles, and then how they made is a little slightly different, you know.
Mm.
So it's very interesting, you know.
Right. Well, actually, I read another interview of yours about how, you know, you committed to quality, which is kind of based on Japanese mindset.
Right.
Yeah. Can you maybe talk about that?
For the quality?
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, just being Japanese, like, you know, Japanese culture, you know, they have a very good, just care about quality, you know, whether like food or clothes or, you know, just anything, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, we are very obsessed people in terms of quality. And that's why the craftsmanship is really a deep underlining concept in Japanese everything. Japanese knives, Japanese tea.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
It's like quality is just very important for Japanese people culturally, I feel like, you know?
Right. Yeah, I always say that there's something, you know, there's room to improve. They have to perfect it as far as there's room to improve. And the other day I was watching, I think it was like a video on Amazon or something. So there's not the pencil, but you know, mechanical pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And there are like three companies. They're all competitive against each other. And one company developed that it's like it's never worn out, meaning every single strike I'm sure of the, you know, when you touch the paper, it's sharp. For some reason, they developed the technology. So it doesn't get round or flat. Right. And then the other two companies decided they have to do something. So they created, you know, mechanical pencils, each company did. It never breaks, like the very thin. Yes, it's crazy. So, I mean, it's, I actually happened to buy one of those because I wanted to try it. And it works. So that's the mindset.
Yeah, I think so, you know. So that's like my background and who, you know, I am being Japanese. And it's just the quality is one thing I care.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Okay. So so you released your first product in 2018 and won reputable awards at the SIP Awards and the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. So why do you think your products are so special and so award-winning? What kind of characteristics?
Our single estate agave to our process and our patience for perfection. You know, we believe that people deserve only pure, and we don't add any color or chemicals, preservatives, you know, it's just no additive, basically. So, you know, Don Senos is 100% agave, you know, premium.
Right. So you really taste the agave itself. So I'm just curious, you know, like the region of your distillery has many distilleries, right? So the your plants could be different from the plants next to your distilleries, correct? Because maybe some species cultivars may be different. So what's the difference though? That if your agave is different from your neighbor's agave, is that the soil or how?
No, it's basically, it's just single estate means we make our tequila is in our field agave only. So some brand are going to be like mixed together, you know?
Right.
This agave to other agave. So everything like well water, like, you know, how they use, you know, how they grow agave, it's just different. So we have, you know, just one single estate. And our master distillery is just keep eye on every step of the way. You know what I mean?
Right.
That makes special.
So that's the quality control 100% because it's estate.
Right.
Okay. And so the prices of your tequila are reasonable despite that high quality. And I looked and it starts from $35 instead of $50 up in the market on average.
Right.
So why did you decide to make it approachable instead of aiming to attract connoisseurs?
Because of we want people to enjoy our tequila as a daily sipper, no matter their budget. We don't want to be like a, you know, $100 blanco. You know, it cannot be like that though. It's just my opinion. You know, if I'm a consumer and I want to have good quality for reasonable price, of course, many people, you know, would enjoy more. You know what I mean? That's what we think.
Right, because if it's not enjoyed by people, then what's the purpose? Probably you just want to,
We want just our tequila to not only for, you know, tequila aficionado to enjoy. We want anyone to enjoy, you know? So that's why we are like, we set up a price for the certain way, yes.
Okay. So let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll discuss why Kumiko is committed to charitable causes through her tequila business. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Emmy Cheese, specialty cheese from Switzerland made with heart and heritage. Since the early 1900s, Emmy has been a passionate supporter of small farmers, cheesemakers, and family tradition. They believe in sustainable agriculture and respect for the people, land, and animals that make their business possible. Remaining dedicated to tradition, they strive to lead the industry in innovation, ensuring they bring you only the highest quality, best tasting cheese from Switzerland. Emmy is best known for being the number one importer of Swiss Gruyere in the United States, in addition to many other specialty cheeses, including premium Kaltbach cave-age cheeses, Appenzeller, Tête de Moine, and traditional Emmentaler. For more information, visit emmyusa.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, and my guest today is Kumiko Zimmerman, who is the founder and CEO at Dos Suenos Tequila. She's the first Japanese woman who owns and runs a tequila company. So we want to know what types of tequila do you produce? I mean, you know, you have a couple of different types. So yeah, maybe you can go through what you have.
Okay. So we produce Blanco, which is clear, and Reposado and Añejo. Mm-hmm. And Blanco has smooth with hints of citrus and vanilla, with glassy undertones and final touch of pepper.
Mm. Okay, so basically Blanco, in order to taste agave taste by itself, it's the Blanco that you should try because it's not aged in oak barrels.
I mean, Blanco is the most popular. I feel like, you know, people purchase Blanco to make cocktails, you know, like Margarita, you know, Paloma cocktails. You know, it's very popular, is a Blanco.
Mm, right, because it's a no color, so it's easy right. to blend with other things.
Yes. Right. And, you know, I think most people say they like Blanco.
That would be, is it more approachable, that's why?
More, you know, I think they can taste as straight or they can make cocktails. And they can make cocktails with Reposado or Añejo too. But, you know, most people make cocktail with Blanco, I think. I've seen it, the people do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So then just to enjoy the pure agave flavor from your estate, shall I go for Blanco?
And I recommended Añejo. That's my favorite.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about Añejo.
Yeah. Okay. So before Añejo, I'm going to talk about Reposado. Is okay?
Sure.
Okay. So Reposado is rested in American oak for 9 months and has complex flavors, combining creme brulee with hints of bell pepper, cinnamon, and vanilla. Those are flavor of Reposado. Mm. And Añejo is rested in 23 months.
Wow.
In same American oak. And this one has a warm, deep, and rich flavor with sweet dark chocolate with hints of vanilla and a touch of brown sugar.
Mm.
So that's Añejo. It's my favorite.
Wow. So that aging changes flavor profile, right? Basically, the difference is how much longer it was aged in oak.
Yeah, how much longer, but also like, you know, what kind of barrel you use. For us, it's American oak. It's Kentucky's craft brand. That's what we use.
Okay.
But, you know, some brands use different things and, you know, so slightly those tasting profile would be different.
Mm, right. So that because to make bourbon, you have to always use a new oak barrel. So it's a kind of natural market exists that, right, for tequila. Is it common to use, you know, the refilled barrels after making bourbon to make tequila?
Master distiller, that's our recipe. Mm. So, you know, our recipe is, you know, we use for bourbon barrel and the brand will be like a craft brand. You know, that's what we choose.
Mm. Right. Interesting. Right. Because I'm trying to imagine. I've never tried your product. So, I was just imagining how the flavor could be affected by bourbon barrel.
I know, but it's like a bad side of me is I don't really know about what the other brands make.
So right.
It's just too busy, caught up in, you know, my own brand. So right. I tasted, I like to taste other things too.
That means a lot, right?
Yeah,
right.
Just small detail, like, you know, their process.
Right, rather than comparing this or that, try to make it better than theirs, you just focus on what you want to drink. So yeah. That means a lot.
Yes. Yeah. So if you are, if you like whiskey, then maybe you would love Añejo.
Right. Because of the oak flavor.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So speaking of, what is the best way to enjoy tequila?
I personally love to drink it straight.
Okay.
And,
like, know, neat.
Yeah, just a neat sipping, you know, it's not like a shot, you know, just slowly you just enjoy, you know, with whatever you wanted to eat, you know, drink with. Can be like some food, you know, can be anything, but, you know, that's just how I like to drink my tequila.
That's interesting because I think people don't think of, say, like whiskey pairing with food, and tequila is more flexible, it sounds like.
And it's just, you know, bit later, like maybe I would explain more, but Blanco would pair it well with this, you know, and then Añejo would pair with this. And yeah, so it's all kinds.
Okay, and let's talk about it. How do you?
So basically, talking about pairings, you know, many backyard barbecue chefs have tagged our tequila as their favorite brand. And our Blanco pairs well with smoked chicken, sushi, and like fish dishes. You know, it's very well pairing with Japanese food as well.
Right. It's cleaner because it's unaged, so there's no oak flavor. So it's more like lighter, cleaner.
And it's smooth, and yes. So... talk about Japan. One of our accounts in Japan is a soba restaurant. And yeah, they offer course meals with tequila.
Wow.
So for example, like a dashimaki tamago.
That's the, yeah, like more the flavored omelet.
Yes. Yeah, so dashimaki tamago and then, you know, serve with Blanco with club soda, like it's called tequila highballs. So, and then dark pot pairs with reposado type of thing. And I actually visited a couple of times and had those pairing food. So I thought that was very unique and surprised how well it pairs with Japanese food.
Interesting.
I didn't know, actually. These are all the new things.
Right. By the way, highball, I think highball is, you know, it's the name of the glass, but the style of cocktails too. And highball is so popular in Japan. And yeah.
That's like whiskey highballs, right?
Right. And also, I think just highball, people say, like shochu highball, whiskey highball, everything highball.
Yeah.
Like in tall glass and, you know, the spirits and whatever you want to drink with.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I think it's
easy to make too, you know, like home bar, you know, like especially for this COVID-19, a lot of people, you know, quarantining and, you know, making your cocktails at home enjoys, you know what I mean?
Right.
So then it's easy to make.
Right. And I think the one of the reasons why highball became so popular in Japan, it's like you can control the amount of alcohol in it. Because it's a tall glass, and it pairs so well with a variety of things. Because it's again, alcohol is more adjustable. So if you go to a Japanese izakaya, you can have different kinds of food with any kinds of highball at your own alcohol level.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, but it's Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So then that was like basically I just explained like Blanco and some of you know pairing with Japanese food, but our reposado also pairs with like good with pork and lamb. And Añejo is Añejo pairs well with like ribeyes.
Right.
Yes, those kind of things.
So then sounds like, you know, you said you sell it in the American market, which is not the nationwide yet, right? And you have market in Japan. Maybe you can just talk about how you, you know, succeeded in selling your products in America and also into Japan.
Yes. I'm sorry, can you...
Yeah, so so first of all, where can we get your tequila in the States? I think Florida and...
Yes, Florida and California, Wyoming, Maine, like a few states.
Okay.
But mainly, like, you can just visit Don Sueños, like at the Don Sueños, and then, you know, you can find a link to purchase online as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to Don Sueños website, and there's a map. So you can see the where to drink, where to buy liquor store. Maybe in your town is, you know, some place available.
Right. So how did you, I mean, you released the product in 2018. And how did you convince your distributor that let's sell it to this states and that states? Because it's the tequila market, it's very competitive right now. So
very competitive. Very competitive. So it's pretty, it's not easy. And definitely, you know, it's way harder than I thought it would be. But pretty much if you have, you know, if you have like a bigger distributor, then they have a territory. Okay, this distributor has, you know, carry for this state. You know what I mean? So that's how some states we, you know, they don't have Don Sueños yet.
Right, right. But again, you won, you know, awards at major competitions. So I'm sure you're going to expand more. And hopefully in New York soon so that I can try your tequila.
Yes, it's coming.
Okay.
It just takes a little time. But, you know, that's obviously my goals. And then expand more marketing, and then hopefully we can, you know, import to another country, you know, just right now is only Japan, but, you know, we get the request from like Europe, you know, Australia. So,
Right. So how did you manage to get into the Japanese market?
Because obviously Japanese market is the first, you know, country that I wanted to bring our tequila because I'm Japanese. It's my country.
Right.
And the person who run Don Sueños in Japan is one of my closest friends. Actually, I met her through our son's motocross.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And, you know, she has son who used to ride and race competitively, and they came to US many times. That's how we met. And it's about like, I don't know, 10 plus years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and we were just really close about it. So we bring it up about our tequila, you know, to her, and she got interested. And then, you know, I much rather want to work with her, like very trustable person. So that's how we started.
Right. I'm sure she shares your passion for tequila. That's why you managed to get into the competitive Japanese market too.
Right.
Right. So where can you buy your tequila in Japan?
So in Japan is also you can go visit the website, Don Sueños Japan, or the social media, you know, Don Sueños Japan for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and they also have online stores.
Okay, so right, so it's currently it's on the digital market, like online only, right?
Online and the liquor store, but the liquor store is again like different areas, you know.
Right.
So like Tokyo and you know Kanagawa, it's just different areas. So it's not the entire Japan yet.
Okay. I'm sure we'll be soon.
Yeah.
So I want to discuss, you know, you're very committed to charitable causes for For example, you have contributed to Hurricane Relief with Eagle and Wings Foundation, NFL uh-huh. Alumni, Caring for Kids Charity, and you name it. So why is it important for you to support these communities?
Giving back to the community has always been a part of who I am, personally. And it's just very important to show my community and family, partners, that we can all help support as a team. And having ongoing relationship helps me build better relationships.
Mm.
So it's, you know, it's just in my heart, like always.
Mm.
What I would love to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you can give us some examples.
That what we did?
Mm-hmm. And that you're planning also. I mean, you're working on currently.
Oh, yes. I'm currently working. Actually, it's coming up. And this one, this charity is basically I've created with my team and the partners in Japan. And it's called Save the Dream Restaurant Support Project. And also we got support by liquor stores, businesses, and celebrities who volunteered to help.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is, you know, many businesses are affected by COVID-19. And even though things are getting back to normal, restaurants and bars are facing like a new normal, you know, and they undertook an increasing expenses, fixed costs were continuing and decreasing profit.
Right.
So in order to follow the prefecture guidelines, now that restaurants and bars have gone back to their normal business hours, they need to reduce the number of seats, and meaning that even the hours have gone back to normal, the number of customers has not.
Mm.
So that's what, you know, we just wanted to do something. And more information, so you can visit at the Save the Dream on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And if it's possible, you know, share or like the page. And that way more people would get to know about this project, and hopefully we can support the restaurants and the bars together.
Right. So how does it work? You purchase a product and the percentage goes to the charity, or you can just donate?
So basically we are doing for two things. One is crowdfunding on Campfire's website. And then and the other one will be charity, auctions by all the celebrity donate the items. So those two things, you know, people donate the money, and then the money goes to the restaurant and the bars.
Right.
So that's what it is.
Mm. Right. It's a very important time for restaurants. And I see people, you know, in New York City, it's possible to dine outside.
Uh-huh.
And people just enjoying eating out. And I think people, it's time for everybody to dine out again, to socialize. So,
right. How's New York right now? Is back to normal?
No, not at all. It's like, I mean, the coronavirus is really in control.
Right.
You know, death rates and everything. But because of, you know, if you rush to reopen businesses or schools, you know, we've seen that it could backfire. So the state, New York City, is very careful. New York City is very careful about reopening. And it's the end of September, 30th of September. Finally, in dining is going to be available, meaning restaurant can open for dining service inside the restaurant up to 25% of the entire seat numbers.
Right.
So it's still very hard, but you know,
yeah.
It's getting a little colder, chillier here, and it's better to have some inside space.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's same Florida too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just getting back to normal, but it's not quite, you know, same as before.
Right.
So.
Mm. But I'm just curious though that people, I mean, I heard American people increase the consumption of alcohol. I saw the data from April to June.
Right.
It's just like really a big uptick of alcohol consumption. It's like 25% per person because of people drinking in the house as well.
Yes.
So did you get some benefit out of that, you know, and consumer behavior?
And so like a liquor store or, you know, I was told that they are busy because of people makes, you know, drinks at home, being quarantined for such a long time, you know.
Right.
But in other hand, you know, many bars and restaurants were closed or limited capacity during the pandemic.
Mm.
And the challenge has been industry-wise to keep the liquor flowing.
Right.
So, you know, that problem is, I'm sure, all the brand faced. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, lately, I think American spirit consumption really increased in good ways because people started to drink more high-quality gins and whiskeys and even mezcal. Amazing how much they pay for a bottle of mezcal. It's almost like $150. I saw many bottles. And, of course, not to mention tequila, too. So, yeah, I think the coronavirus is awful, but people started to think of drinking as different ways. It's not only at the bars, but you can really design your own glass, what it's going to be in your own glass.
I think it's great, you know, people nowadays, like people can get the easy recipe online, you know. You don't have to be, I mean, one thing is just go to the bar and then just bartender makes beautiful cocktail is really, really amazing things.
Mm.
But in other hand, you know, you can find easy cocktails, you know, just you can make at home and then still enjoyable, you know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Yeah, and especially if you can find somebody like your tequila, which is high quality and the purity, I mean, you don't have to worry about what it's going to be in your glass, you know, like something that could be not totally healthy, like some chemicals in there. So,
Yeah, it's, I would like, you know, more people to just taste it and enjoy, because tequila is really happy spirits, you know, everybody going to be happy. So that's my goal.
So do you get to visit your distillery in Mexico very often?
Not very often, unfortunately. I wish I could go more, but I have 3 kids and, you know, they are older, like 16 and 14 and 12.
Mm.
I feel like too young to leave them alone. And my husband also own businesses, and then he's not right now because of due to the COVID-19, but he was always gone like 3 weeks a month.
Wow.
It's having, you know, it's not always easy to make a balance between home and being moms and the husband be gone. I could go more though.
It's amazing how you manage everything and created such a special brand. So congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, I have a great team. So I couldn't have done it by myself.
Well, you created a great team too. So that means something.
Thank you.
All right. So what are your plans for the future?
My plan is... many people to get to know and then taste Don Senior's tequila. And also I would like to expand the market more, you know, as I speak earlier. I would like to expand more entire America to different countries and, of course, Japan too.
And Mexico maybe, within Mexico?
Yes, but not yet. Mexico has way more different brands available and, you know, I would like to one day, but not yet.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's like going to selling Japanese sake made in the U.S. to Japan, which actually it's possible because it's a different perspective in terms of how to build the flavor profile.
I mean, Japanese sake, whiskey, very, very popular here, you know. Loves it.
Right.
Because of quality, I really one thing, you know.
But I think it doesn't matter where it's made. And as far as it's very highly respected production, then you can sell anywhere.
Yes, right. I think so. Agreed.
Right. Okay. So where can we find your updates?
You can find updates on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For US is at Don Suenos. And in Japan is at Don Suenos Japan. Mm. You can find all the updates, you know, events. Obviously, we are not doing any events yet, but soon, hopefully.
Right, hopefully.
Yes.
All right. So thank you so much for joining us today, Kumiko.
Thank you so much for having me.
Japanese is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, Food Radio supported by you. For freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.